Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong. You're all staying healthy right now as we head in to that holiday season. It is coming very, very quickly at this point. And of course, we have a ton of sports news this week, but you know, the biggest news this week is going to be in college football. We've got a lot of college football to talk this week on the Dose. And you know, the biggest story right off the bat is that the college football playoff is now set. But it was a pretty wild ride to get there, because the Utah Utes, who kind of have a habit of just killing the Pac-12 every year. Yeah, they did it again. The Utes upset the number 4 USC Trojans 47-24 in the Pac-12 title game on Friday night. And that kind of set the wheels in motion for at least a little bit, like a minor dose of chaos in college football. Okay, so the Pac-12 was out, right? No real shocker there. Like, how much were we really counting on the Pac-12? But then on Saturday, in the Big 12 championship game, those sneaky Kansas State Wildcats did it again. They held on in overtime and took out the number 3 TCU Horned Frogs 31-28. And I mean, they held on like by inches to win that game. Okay, so number 2 Michigan, number 1 Georgia, they both rolled. But then the College Football Playoff Committee, they kind of had to tweak some things. So on Sunday, it was announced that the college football playoff would be as follows. The number 1 seed is the SEC champion, 13-0 Georgia Bulldogs. No surprise there. The number 2 seed is the 13-0 Big Ten champion, Michigan Wolverines. The number 3 seed will be the first school ever from the state of Texas to make the playoff, which is kind of wild when you think about that. But the committee did still keep the 12-1 Big 12 runner-up TCU Horned Frogs at the number 3 spot. Hey, I'm okay with that. I think TCU still deserved a spot. They have beaten a number of ranked teams this year. They came as close as they could to winning that game on Saturday. Literally came up inches short. So I'm okay with that. But then, the college football committee decided to put the Ohio State Buckeyes in at the number 4 spot. So, the national semifinal games on December 31st will be number 1 Georgia versus number 4 Ohio State in the Peach Bowl, and then number 2 Michigan versus number 3 TCU in the Fiesta Bowl. Those are both on December 31st. You know, some interesting games there to be sure. But again, I don't know what it is, but this 4-team playoff, it somehow always just makes us feel a little shortchanged. Like, how did we go from 2 to 4, but it still feels totally broken? I'm not sure, but it does. And yet, I come to you today, Daily Dose listener, bringing good tidings of great joy, because kids, I have some really, really good news for the world of college football. The 4-team playoff, yeah, it's about to be no more. The last remaining obstacle to expanding the college football playoff to 12 teams has finally been cleared, because the Rose Bowl reached an agreement last week that officially paves the way for the college football playoff to expand in the last 2 years of the contract. Yes, they still have the contract, but they're going to expand it before then. Had the Rose Bowl refused, they would have had to wait to expand anything until 2026. The Rose Bowl came through, and now the college football playoff can expand to 12 teams. And we also get the Rose Bowl on the big stage. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so what does it all mean? How is this all going to work? Here is how the new playoff will work. This year, obviously, it's already set. Next year, we'll maintain the current format of 4 teams. But the following year, 2024, we will get a 12-team playoff. The field will comprise of the selection committee's 6 highest-ranked conference champions, and then the next 6 highest-ranked teams. The 4 highest-ranked conference champions will earn the top seeds and a first-round bye, and the other 8 teams will play in the first round, with the higher seeds hosting the lower seeds on campus or at another site of their choice. So the first round of the playoff will be in 2024. It will actually take place the week of December 21st. The top four teams, they get that bye. The remaining seeds will play the games off as follows. Number 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. Then in week 2, you would have the 8 versus 9 then playing the 1, the 7 versus 10 playing the 2, the 6 versus 11 playing the 3, and the 5 versus 12 playing the 4. I know, it's a lot. And those games would be at designated host sites, so basically kind of like the bowl games, except that they would matter. Okay, so let me kind of break this down a little easier for you. If we kind of pretend that this was actually happening this year, here's how it would look. The seeds with the byes would be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Ohio State. 1, 2, 3, 4. The remaining seeds would be number 5, Alabama, 6, Tennessee, 7, Utah, 8, USC, 9, Penn State, 10, Clemson, 11, Kansas State, and number 12 would be Tulane. So the first round games would be number 12, Tulane, versus number 5, Alabama, to play number 4, Ohio State. The next game, number 11, Kansas State, versus number 6, Tennessee, to play number 3, TCU. The next game would be number 10, Clemson, versus number 7, Utah, to play number 2, Michigan. And then you would have number 9, Penn State, versus number 8, USC, to play number 1, Georgia. Are you telling me that's not better? Because that feels a lot better. Not a little better. It feels a lot better rather than just 2 games to get to 1 playoff, to get to 1 final. This sounds so much better to me. Now, for the 24 and 25 seasons, the 4 quarterfinal games and 2 semifinal games, they'll be in bowls on a rotating basis. So like in 2024, you'll have the Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and then the Cotton Bowl and Orange Bowl would host the actual semifinals. And then in 25, same thing, but Fiesta and Peach would host the semifinals. I know that we still have another year to go. I get it. We got to get through this year. And this year has some controversy. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then next year, kind of a holding pattern. Okay, let's get through next year. But that next format, 12 teams, where we're going to get some at-large berths. We're going to get some teams, maybe even from smaller conferences. That makes me really excited for the college football season. Because every year, we get so hyped for college football. We can't wait for college football to come. And then the regular season is phenomenal. The early games are so much fun. The conference games and the rivalry games, they're so much fun. And then you get into, you know, conference championships, and you finish off, and then it's bowl season, and instead of ending with a bang, like the NFL playoffs, or any postseason playoffs, MLB, NBA, NHL, whatever, we don't get that. We get a few bowl games that don't really matter that much, and we only get 4 teams. What if number 5 this year could have got hot and run the table? Well, we'll never know, will we? This new system makes a lot of sense to me. I personally have wanted it to go to 8 teams and hold there, but I kind of like this 12-team format. I kind of like that the top 4 seeds get byes. It gives you something to play for. Can you rest your starters? No. And at the same time, can you go out and take a chance and play a better team in the regular season, maybe a better out-of-conference schedule, rather than scheduling those awful 1AA or smaller schools? Yeah, you can go take those chances. You can schedule those games because, you know, one loss doesn't kill us. If we show well, we still have a chance to get in the playoff. I think that is much, much better for college football. I love the idea of college football ending with a bang instead of kind of a fizzle. We have been waiting for that for way, way, way too long. And this is definitely a step in the right direction. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. I drop a new article on Tuesdays. If you want to get some thoughts on, you know, kind of the local scene around here, maybe the Broncos, maybe the Denver Nuggets, maybe the Colorado Avalanche, maybe one of the local colleges around here. I realize our football in the state is struggling a little bit right now, but if you want to catch some thoughts that I have, Make sure you go over there. And on Thursdays, Young Jimmy, our featured columnist, he will drop an article, and you never know what it's going to be about, but it's going to be very, very good stuff. Make sure you're going over there. Plus, we have links to the podcast. We have links to the YouTube videos. And yes, we have links to the Daily Dose gear. Are you struggling with what to buy someone this year for the holiday season? Well, you know what would look good under the tree? A Daily Dose t-shirt, sweatshirt, or hoodie, because you can pick it in whatever color you want. It's quality stuff. You can pick even the quality of the material. How soft do you want it? How warm do you want it? How thin do you want it? How thick do you want it? Yes, a number of things you can find over at DailyDoseSports.com, including links to our Daily Dose gear, and we have a number of designs to choose from, so make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every single week and checking in. Hey, today on the show, I'm not going to lie, we're going to be real, real college football heavy this week. We're going to be taking a look at which college football bowl games that might actually be worth your time this year to tune in and watch. Like I said, a lot of these bowl games, they don't really mean that much. But that doesn't mean there aren't games out there. You just kind of have to sift through the nonsense to get to the good ones. Today, we're going to let you know what those good ones are. And we do have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you. You know, every year, just like this year, it seems like we have a team or two get elected to the college football playoff, and I don't know that they're that deserving of the playoff. We're going to be looking at some undeserving teams today on the Daily Dose Top 5. But first, you know, not only did we have the big news this weekend of the college football playoff and the bowl games and where everyone's going to go, but we have way more news than that this week, and it actually affects my home state of Colorado. We all know that my home state is a barren wasteland when it comes to college football, right? Well, that could be changing soon, because after three highly successful seasons at FCS Division I AA Jackson State, head coach Deion Sanders is coming to Boulder to coach the Colorado Buffaloes.
Are you kidding me?
I don't even know what to say. Yes. It seems the hippies in Boulder have finally figured out that hacky sack and frisbee don't actually generate nearly the revenue that you might think they would. So, they are going to give Coach Prime a little over $5 million, and then he also has some incentives on top of that, to try to restore that disaster of a football program. I mean, Colorado went just 1-11 this year, and then they fired head coach Carl Durrell on October 2nd. Mike Sanford Jr. was named the interim head coach in Durrell's place, and he finished out the final seven games of the season, and it wasn't pretty. In fact, when you stop and think about it, Colorado only has two winning seasons dating clear back to 2006. They haven't won a bowl game since 2004. That's crazy. And when you think about this, since 2005, some of the coaches that Colorado has gone through, they're pretty forgettable names. Carl Durrell, Mel Tucker, who left, Mike McIntyre, who was awful, John Embry, who was worse, Dan Hawkins, also terrible, and let's not forget all of the raping that went on under Gary Barnett. Hey, with the changes coming to the Pac-12, the Buffaloes are hoping to turn things around with Deion leading the charge. Sanders comes with just 3 years experience coaching college football, but he went 27-5 at Jackson State. The Tigers just, in fact, completed an undefeated regular season on Saturday with a 43-24 blowout of Southern for the SWAC championship. And Sanders informed his team of his departure right after that win. Now, he is still slated to coach Jackson State in the Celebration Bowl on December 17th against North Carolina Central. And then, Deion Sanders, prime time, will be a Buffalo. This is huge! This is a huge get for the University of Colorado. Prime will be guaranteed excitement to a program that has had none since, like, George W. was in office. And yet, I do have a few concerns. And no, I'm not trying to rain on a parade. I swear I'm not. But I have a few concerns, and I'm going to name them to you right now. Here is concern number one. Where were the line of suitors chasing Coach Prime? This year, We saw Auburn, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Arizona State, Stanford, Georgia Tech, UNLV, Liberty, Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, South Florida. They were all on the market for a new head coach. Yet, none of them were interested in Dion except Colorado and South Florida? That seems weird to me. Unless they know something about, I don't know, his background. Or maybe they were scared off by something. I don't know. Or, I'm just spitballing here, maybe they just look at Dion beating FCS schools with legit Division I players and think, big deal. Come up to this level, you're going to be more evenly matched. It's not going to be that easy here. And that's a possibility. That is concern number one. Concern number two, the first reaction to Colorado getting Sanders is, of course, he's going to come to Boulder and he's going to be able to pull any recruit he wants, right? He coached high school football in Texas. We know of his ties to the state of Florida. And of course, he has those ties to the state of Mississippi from Jackson State. And there are a ton of players coming out of those three states. So the Colorado recruits are about to explode with Coach Prime, right? Well, maybe. But Colorado's strict transfer policies and their lack of NIL infrastructure, that can be a major problem. It has been, and it could continue. Many of Colorado's best players, including big-time prospects, guys like Christian Gonzalez, who went to Oregon, he may get drafted in the first round this year. They have left via the transfer portal. Now, in order to really change things, Coach Prime is going to need to overcome the antiquated system and those obstacles that have gotten Colorado where they are right now. It's not an accident that they're terrible. He's going to have to push that stuff aside. He's going to have to plow through those things and get them to change because Colorado has been completely irrelevant. So here's my question. Are the hippies going to completely revamp their athletic outlook? They had better. Because with those changes coming for the Pac-12, if you don't change, you might get left behind. You might get banished to like the Big West or something. If other conferences come looking to poach Pac-12 teams, they will be poaching Colorado last. So is Boulder really going to change how they do business? I mean, is Boulder going to sell out? I have no idea, but I'll tell you this, I can't wait to find out. Finally, I have a third concern. There is the reality that no one in Boulder, or in the state of Colorado, is going to want to hear. And I really feel bad even saying it. I do. I'm sorry. But I have to say this, don't I? Can I say this? Okay, I'm going to say this. And I don't want you to get offended. I don't want you to get hurt feelings. Yes, I'm talking to you, young Jimmy. This is going to hurt me as much as it is you. Actually, it's not, because I live in reality. But I still have to say it. In the grand world of college football, the state of Colorado is not a destination for anyone. Coaches, players, whatever. No one says, okay, Colorado is my dream. Not the players that Dion may bring. And most of all, not Dion himself. So that leads me to my next point. If Coach Prime does have success, say he wins 3 to 4 games in year one, that would actually be good. And then he wins 7 or 8 games in year two. Oh, he's gone in 2 years. He will leave Boulder for much greener pastures. And if he doesn't have that success, then you might be wishing he would leave in 3 years because you are selling out for this guy. And if you sell out in football, I got news for you. You kind of got to sell out in everything, don't you? Look, we know here in Colorado, college football is mostly dead right now. A military academy that has literal size restrictions is the best program in the state, and no one is within miles of them. But this should be a major upgrade for the state, and it should be a huge upgrade for the University of Colorado. Will it be? Maybe. Like I said, it should be. But I do have some concerns, and I can't wait to watch it and find out. I know that I told you that this week is going to be very college football heavy on the dose. But I got to talk about this. The NFL had a weird week. And it was a really rough week, specifically for NFL quarterbacks. think about all that the NFL has done to try to protect their quarterbacks. I mean, you can't touch them. We saw earlier this year, you can't tackle them. If you tackle them too roughly, they're going to throw a flag. So with all of that stuff in place, what did we see on Sunday? Well, we saw a really, really rough day for quarterbacks. First off, Carolina Panthers quarterback Baker Mayfield actually got cut from the Panthers. He had a rough week. He did get signed yesterday by the Los Angeles Rams. But then, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes left with a foot injury, came back and played probably just minor. Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa left with an ankle injury. Again, probably minor, should be good to go. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson left the game against the Denver Broncos with a knee injury. He may miss a little time. I think that's just a strain, but you never know how that's going to go, and I think he might be out at least for a week or two. The worst-looking injury of the week was Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who went down with an ankle injury. It looked really ugly, but he actually returned. He didn't play very well at all, but he did end up coming back. And then you had San Francisco 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, who suffered a foot fracture in their game against the Miami Dolphins and is gone for the season. Again, I know the NFL tries to legislate all these injuries out of the game. They've taken everything out. You can't even touch these guys anymore. And yet, look at all the injuries we saw just this week. How weird of a week was it in the NFL? Well, in that game, the San Francisco 49ers versus the Miami Dolphins, which was good for about 2.5 quarters, maybe 3 quarters. In that game, the Niners had to put Iowa State rookie quarterback Brock Purdy into the game. Now, if you've listened to The Dose for very long, you know of my relationship with Brock Purdy. And by that, I mean every time I watched that kid in college, every single time I watched him, he was terrible. I kept hearing about Brock Purdy. You got to see this kid play. You got to watch this kid play. He was awful. Every single time I watched him, he was awful. On Sunday, he comes in. I'm watching him, but I'm on red zone. So I'm kind of flipping back and forth. Apparently, he played pretty well. I think he played well when I wasn't watching. And I don't know how he knows when I'm watching, but he does. But somehow, Brock Purdy, who, if you haven't seen him, kind of looks like if Drew Locke and Jared Goff like had a baby together. Brock Purdy led the Niners to that big win over the Miami Dolphins. He threw 2 touchdowns. What in the world is going on in the NFL? Every week, we try to figure out how it's going to go. If anybody had Brock Purdy throwing touchdowns to beat the Miami Dolphins, you deserve whatever money you won. Now, not everything was different. Russell Wilson came out from my Denver Broncos and was still terrible. But then we also had the Cleveland Browns, who finally got to see their highly paid quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who's getting Russell Wilson money, I might add. He came out in their game against the Houston Texans. And, you know, Deshaun looked, well, honestly, he looked pretty rusty. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Browns got a win over the Texans. But Watson went just 12 of 22 for 131 yards. He had an interception. And you could tell, he just didn't look comfortable. You know, you can go out and you can practice, you can throw, you can learn the offense, you can do all those things, but there is no way to prepare you for actual live football. There is no way to prepare you for someone coming in and trying to dive and knock you out of the game. You just can't prepare for that. And as a result, Deshaun looked real rusty. He struggled with the pass rush. He looked very uncomfortable. He just looked, I guess, I don't know, tight. You might say probably needs a massage. Finally, the World Cup in Qatar is rolling along, but Team USA is gone. Yes, Team USA was knocked out of the 2022 Qatar World Cup this past weekend by the Netherlands 3-1. And you know, every time we have something like this, we have like a world tournament, we hear from a number of people here in the United States, hey, the United States is finally ready to compete at this level. We hear it from soccer people. We hear it from the talking heads on the sports networks. Hey, this team can finally compete. they can finally play. They are capable of going against the big dogs and holding their own. And then the tournament starts and we actually play. In four games, Team USA scored a total of 3 goals. What, did Russell Wilson play on this team? And then, what do we hear when it ends? Well, you know, the U.S. just hasn't played this sport long enough. We just haven't been playing as long as, you know, those other countries have been playing. Well, let me ask, when will it be long enough? Because we've been playing soccer since like the 70s. Figure it out. And, you know, here's the thing. This has nothing to do with longevity. This has nothing to do with how long the U.S. has played this sport. This has everything to do with who plays this sport. Because I'm telling you right now, if we had, say, Tyreek Hill and Ja Morant playing soccer in this country, oh, make no mistake, we're going to dominate. But that isn't happening. Soccer isn't the cool sport to play in the U.S., so they go play other sports. Whether it's baseball, basketball, football, the greatest athletes do not play soccer in this country. So now the Qatar World Cup is down to the final 8 teams, and hang on. Wait, the U.S. is out. We don't have to pretend to care about this anymore.
Nobody cares.
Okay, coming back. College football bowl season is nearly upon us. What are the best games that you need to be sure and mark on your calendar? We're going to give you the best games to watch when we get back. Welcome to bowl season, kids. I know that the college football playoff is about to be expanded. And I know most of these bowl games, they're silly. They're a little bit worthless. But here is the upside about bowl season. And I know it's stupid. However, there are going to be days that you will just randomly flip on a game. It could be in the middle of like a Wednesday. It could be a Tuesday night. And you just might be tuning in to see an absolute instant classic. Does it matter in the great scheme of things? Not usually. Is it fun? Yeah, it absolutely can be. College football bowl season is going to begin in just over a week. It starts on December 16th. It will run until the national championship game on January 9th. Is it as good as it is going to eventually be? No. But it'll still be fun. So, here are some of the games that you really should mark on your calendar, because some of these games will sneak up on you. It will be in the middle of the week. You might not even know there was a game on. You might want to mark it so that you don't miss them. Also, and you're going to hear a lot about this, a number of these games are going to be affected by the new trend of stars sitting them out. Hey, I don't want to risk injury. I'm going to go get ready for the draft. Okay. But remember this. While a star might be out, sometimes it means other players that don't get a play actually get a chance. And sometimes it is their opportunity to shine. We have discovered some great players. And sometimes these kids are just going out there and trying to make a name for themselves. Hey, maybe if I can put some good tape down, maybe I get selected in the draft. So don't run away from a game just because you hear, well, the star is not even going to play. It doesn't really matter. What if his backup comes in and shines? Could be very, very good. As usual, when I give you these bowl games, I will not be referring to these games by their stupid sponsored names. I will be giving you their real names. Okay, so the very first game up is actually on Saturday, December 17th, coming very quickly, and we just got done talking about it, because the Celebration Bowl features Deion Sanders in his final game with undefeated Jackson State as they take on 9-2 North Carolina Central. Yes, it's just FCS football. But hey, I want to see if Deion can go out on top. You know, his son and starting quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, he's thrown for over 3,000 yards this year. And both he and cornerback Travis Hunter have already put their name in the transfer portal. So I'm betting they're going to be coming to Boulder. Well, I'd like to take a closer look at this. I'd like to see what Colorado's getting. More importantly, I want to see, can these guys actually compete at the Power 5 level? Now, is this going to be the end-all test? No, not even close. But it might be interesting, and I'll be watching it. On Thursday, December 22nd, we get a game that could be a shootout, because the Armed Forces Bowl will see the Baylor Bears, who average 34 points a game, facing the Air Force Falcons, who averaged 28 points a game. But of course, these teams couldn't be more different. Baylor will be throwing the ball over the field. Air Force will be running their option stuff. This one could end up being a lot of fun. Don't forget about the Armed Forces Bowl. The Liberty Bowl is on Wednesday, December 28th, and we are going to get the Kansas Jayhawks playing in their first bowl game since 2008. Now, I know, these games don't really mean that much, right? And they mostly don't. But you don't think the Jayhawks and their fans are going to be pumped for a bowl game? Who cares if it's a Liberty Bowl? They're going to be out of their minds. And Kansas will be facing a very physical Arkansas Razorback team. Hey, this is going to be interesting. Kansas throwing the ball over. Arkansas playing smash mouth. I kind of like this game. One brief side note. The Kansas Jayhawks reportedly had hoped to get their oldest rival, the University of Missouri, to play in this game. Missouri refused. And instead, Missouri will be playing in the Gasparilla Bowl. To quote the late Kobe Bryant, that is soft.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Very weak. Also on December 28th, we have a battle between two of the most exciting quarterbacks in college football this season when North Carolina and quarterback Drake May face the Oregon Ducks with quarterback Bo Nix. Could this be like a 61-58 game? Yeah, it could. In fact, I fully expect it. North Carolina averages 35 points a game. They also give up 31 points a game. Oregon averages 40 points a game, and they allow 27. So the Holiday Bowl between North Carolina and Oregon, it's got shootout written all over it. This goofy game is one of the ones I really can't wait to watch. Do not forget about the Holiday Bowl. On Friday, December 30th, we get a pretty good matchup when the improving Notre Dame Fighting Irish will be playing the improving South Carolina Gamecocks in the Gator Bowl. Hey, these two teams have been red hot down the stretch. Notre Dame started rough, but then they beat Clemson, and they beat Syracuse, and they beat them both pretty easily. And while South Carolina also stumbled early, don't forget they have beaten Clemson, and they smoked Tennessee. The Gator Bowl, Notre Dame versus South Carolina, might not sound like a great game. This one should be a lot of fun. Then we get to New Year's Eve, and we're going to get some really, really fun games on New Year's Eve. Remember this year, New Year's Day falls on Sunday. Limited college football this year on that Sunday. In fact, only just one game. New Year's Eve is going to be a big dog, though. It is going to be the biggest day in bowl season. On Saturday, January 31st, New Year's Eve, we get number 5 Alabama facing number 9, and again, red hot, Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl. Hey, Bama has now won 3 in a row. And, you know, one of the biggest problems that Alabama has had this year has been their health. Well, quarterback Bryce Young, he should be back to full health. And then Kansas State has won 4 in a row, and they just beat TCU in the Big 12 title game. Now, when I look at this game, Sugar Bowl, of course, Alabama's there. What is Kansas State doing there? And there's no way Kansas State can, you know, hang in this game, right? Well, I don't know. I keep thinking that every week, but Kansas State is just that team. They're just gutty and gritty. They have a little sand on them, you might say. I don't know if K-State can hang with Bama. I wouldn't think so, but I sure want to find out. And then, later on New Year's Eve, we get the two national semifinal games. First up are the number 2 Michigan Wolverines facing the number 3 TCU Horned Frogs. And this game is funny to me because, if I'm being completely honest, I've kind of been doubting both of these teams all year. But I mean, what can you say now? Jim Harbaugh totally has fortified his team up front. And when I looked at Jim Harbaugh, when he first came to Michigan, we all sat there and said, well, he doesn't have a quarterback. He doesn't have a quarterback. He doesn't have a quarterback. Well, I don't know that his quarterbacks have been great these last 2 years, but they're winning the battle up front. They're winning in the trenches. And when you do that, you can make a quarterback look a whole lot better. Hey, the maize and blue, they can beat you running the ball. They can beat you throwing the ball. They have a pretty good defense. They are pretty solid all over the field. Jim Harbaugh has done a really good job with that Michigan squad, and we're going to see if they can beat up TCU. But then on the other side, you have TCU quarterback Max Duggan, and he's a goofy-looking ginger. But that kid is just an absolute gamer. He brings it. I thought so many times in the Big 12 title game, hey, TCU's done. They're going to get blown out. This game is over. This is finished. And then somehow Max Duggan brings them back. He was literally running on fumes at the end. There was no quit in that kid. He just wanted to find a way to beat Kansas State. Came up short, but it wasn't for lack of trying. When I look at the Fiesta Bowl, Michigan versus TCU, I mean, honestly, I give a serious advantage to Michigan. And yet, I don't know that I can doubt TCU just because of the way Max Duggan plays. He's so tough. I really, really like this game. They've got some speed. This might be a better game than people think. Michigan versus TCU in the Fiesta Bowl should be a lot of fun. The second semifinal game will be the Peach Bowl between the number one Georgia Bulldogs and those number four Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, it's interesting. Every time this year, we look at Georgia. We saw them in the opener. They go out. Hey, are they going to still have it this year? We know they lost some people. They face Oregon in the opener. And what do? They drug Oregon up and down that field all day. Okay, well, they'll limp to a game. They'll look ugly against Kent State. They won't look sharp. But then they have to face Tennessee. Hey, don't forget in that game, most people were picking Tennessee. When they get challenged, Georgia always seems to rise to the occasion. On Saturday, in the SEC championship game, hey, LSU was thinking upset. They kind of had that start like, I don't know. LSU might bounce back. They might be better than we think. And then what does Georgia do? They rise to the occasion. Every time they get challenged, they make plays. Quarterback Stetson Bennett, no, he doesn't look like a football player. No, he doesn't look like an NFL prospect. And yet, he just comes through. He just makes plays. Every single time I doubt that kid, he makes plays. And that's kind of how Georgia is. They mirror that quarterback. And then they'll be facing the Ohio State Buckeyes. Hey, Ohio State is an insanely talented team. I know they finished really soft against Michigan, but they've got to feel like they have so much to prove after that loss to Michigan. You went out there. You're a leading candidate to go to the college football playoff. Most people had Ohio State picked in their final, maybe even winning it all. And your quarterback, C.J. Stroud, was the Heisman favorite. They lost everything. And now Ohio State gets a chance to rewrite that. They get a chance to control their own destiny. Hey, they got to feel like they have been given second life here. Georgia versus Ohio State in the Peach Bowl will be must-see TV. I can't wait for that one on New Year's Eve. Finally, we reach Monday, January 2nd, and we still have a couple of interesting games left. First is the Cotton Bowl, where number 10 USC will face number 16 Tulane. I know. I already know what you're saying. There's no way that Tulane can possibly hang with USC. The Trojans, they just have way too much offense. And, I mean, Tulane's been a cute story this year, but they haven't seen anything like Lincoln Riley's offense. They haven't seen anything like Caleb Williams before. Well, that's probably true. But I will say this. That Tulane defense, no, it's pretty good. They're pretty tough. I don't know if they can hang at this level, but they're going to come out and they're going to battle. Here's what I'm wondering, though. After being in the top four and then losing in that Pac-12 title game, how much does USC even care? Are we going to see a disinterested Trojan team? Because you know this isn't where they want to be. They don't want to be playing in the Cotton Bowl on January 2nd. They wanted to be playing in one of those semifinals. How many of those USC kids are going to sit out and not even play? They wanted to be in the college football playoff. So while we can look at this and say, blowout, and it should be a blowout, USC versus Tulane, come on, that'll be a joke, right? But we might not get USC at full strength, and we might get a Tulane team that is really out to prove they belong. And in the next few years, when that college football playoff expands, maybe the committee won't be so hesitant to put a Tulane squad in there if they show well in this game. This could be a big game for the little guy. See how that one ends up on January 2nd. Finally, we get the granddaddy of them all in the Rose Bowl on January 2nd when we have Pac-12 champion, number 8 Utah, facing a very solid number 11 Penn State team that, when you think about this year, how often have we even thought about or talked about Penn State? Not that much. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan. It's the SEC. For a minute, there was a little bit of USC and some teams like that. TCU, obviously. We've all kind of forgotten about Penn State this year. No one's talking about them. No one's even thought about them. And yet, I mean, every year, isn't it your Big Ten goal to go to the Rose Bowl and win it? Yeah, usually. If the Nittany Lions could somehow go to the Rose Bowl and win it, no, this is a very, very successful year for Penn State. Not where they wanted to be, don't get me wrong. But that would be a very successful season for the Penn State Nittany Lions. And they're going to be facing that scrappy Utah team. They play defense. They play smash mouth football. Quarterback Cameron Rising, he's a tough kid. Did you see him get rung in that Pac-12 title game against USC? He got hit square in the face. Helmet popped off. But that is just how Utah plays. This should be a really, really fun Rose Bowl game. Even though it's not, you know, the big dogs, a very fun Rose Bowl game. And then finally, on January 9th, we do get that championship game. Who will it be? I mean, if I was picking right now, Michigan versus Georgia? But who knows? It could be TCU versus Ohio State for all we know. That's just how this college football season has gone. About the time we think we've got this all figured out, we know who the best team is. We know who the big dogs are. We get somebody to trip up. We get somebody to pull off the upset. And as much as we think college football, every year we know who's going. How many of us had this Final Four playing prior to the season? Maybe we had the SEC. We had the Big Ten. We didn't have these teams. Maybe Ohio State and Georgia. That's it. Not a lot of people had faith in Michigan. And trust me, no one thought TCU was going to end up here. So that championship game could end up being teams that we did not expect. That's just kind of how this year has gone. Okay, coming back, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Yes, we're talking a lot of college football today. A number of things in college football that we need to discuss today. But here's one thing we need to talk about. Hey, we just got to call it. Did Ohio State really deserve to be in that Final Four? We can make a case for them. We can make a case against them. But this week, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to be looking at five teams. Honestly, I don't know if they deserve to be in that Final Four playoff. And we have seen a number of them. We're going to count down the five biggest examples of teams making that Final Four college football playoff that I don't know that they deserve to be there. We're going to be looking at the five most undeserving when we get back. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Five! The college football playoff is an annual postseason knockout invitational tournament that determines a national champion for the NCAA Division I football bowl subdivision. The highest level of college football competition in the entire United States. Four teams play in two semifinal games, and the winner of each semifinal advances to the national championship game. You know, the first four-team tournament was held at the end of the 2014 NCAA season, and it was won by Ohio State, who beat Oregon in the championship game. And at the time, Ohio State was actually on their third-string quarterback. After the first season, the playoff has largely been dominated by Alabama and Clemson. They have faced each other in the title game three different times. They also played another time in the semifinals. A 13-member committee selects and seeds the four teams that take part in the playoff. Now, this system differs from the use of polls or computer rankings that previously had been used to pick the final two teams for the Bowl Championship Series, or the BCS. That system was in use from 1998 until 2013. So this system, while better than the BCS, still kind of allows for some nonsense. I mean, this year, we get the four teams And there's a little controversy involved. But it's not the only time. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 counts down the top 5 teams that were voted to the 4-team college football playoff that you could make a pretty compelling case they didn't really belong. Just like we are seeing this year. We start off at number 5. And we go back to the year 2020. And yes, it was that wacky COVID year that threw everything out of whack. The season was heavily impacted by the pandemic in the USA. All of the Power 5 conferences initially announced plans that they would play a fall football season beginning in late August, but greatly reduced non-conference games so that they wouldn't have to travel quite as much. The ACC, the Big 12, the SEC, as well as many other Group of Five conferences, actually would begin their seasons in September. Some of them would push their seasons back even further. Notre Dame agreed to play a full conference schedule as a member of the ACC. But in August, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the MAC, the Mountain West, and several independents announced they would delay their football seasons indefinitely due to the pandemic. They said, maybe we'll play in the spring instead. But by late September, four conferences had flipped that. They were starting to play more. A shortened season, but a season nonetheless. On August 11th, the Big Ten became the first Power 5 conference to postpone fall sports, followed shortly by the Pac-12. In fact, the Nebraska Cornhuskers of the Big Ten said they had an intention to attempt some non-conference play, even though the rest of the conference wasn't going to play. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren confirmed Nebraska could not do that as a member of the Big Ten. It was a major factor. There were a lot of people getting mad. The Pac-12 was saying, you got to have rapid testing. And what got crazy is after a lot of these conferences began kind of delaying when they would play, a lot of stuff got politicized. The Big Ten's decision to not play became very politicized. You might not remember it, but President Donald Trump criticized closures of university campuses and pushed particularly for the Big Ten to play their football season. After their decision to postpone the season, the Big Ten actually formed a task force to investigate some options. How can we get back to playing? So Big Ten teams would eventually play 6 to 8 games. And while the Ohio State Buckeyes that year were without a doubt one of the best teams in the country, there's no question about that. They would get elected to the college football playoff having just played 6 games. They were 6-0. But 11-0 Coastal Carolina, they were out. 9-0 Cincinnati, out. 8-2 Oklahoma, out. 8-1 Texas A&M, out. Hey, the Big Ten is a major conference. Ohio State is a major team. But based on actually deserving to go, Ohio State didn't deserve it. They didn't do anything on the field to deserve it. Why did they go? Because of their name. We know how this works. The committee says they don't vote based on the team name. We know that's a big lie. So 11-0 Alabama went as the number one seed. 10-1 Clemson was the number two seed. Ohio State got in as the number three, despite the fact they had only played 6 games. And then 10-1 Notre Dame got the four seed. Hey, there was no question. The Buckeyes were talented. They blew out Clemson 49-28. They racked up 600 yards against Clemson. But in the championship game, the Buckeyes were throttled by Alabama 52-24. Look, I'm not saying Ohio State wasn't one of the best teams in the country in 2021. They were. Did they deserve to be in the college football playoff? No. They only played 6 games. And for that, they come in today at number 5. We jump to number 4. And we go back to 2018. Do you remember 2018? Before the pandemic, when life was still good. Well, college football was rolling, and so were the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama won their first 11 games convincingly. But then they reached the Iron Bowl. And the Auburn Tigers didn't just beat the Tide. They handled them 26-14 in that regular season finale. And since the two teams were tied in the SEC West, Auburn got to go to the 2017 SEC title game. Alabama dropped to number 6 in the rankings right before championship weekend. However, in the final college football rankings of the year, 11-1. Alabama was raised to number 4 after not playing ahead of 12-1 Wisconsin, ahead of 11-2 Big Ten Conference champion Ohio State, and ahead of 12-0 American Athletic Conference champion, that's right, kids, Central Florida. This got Alabama a place in the national semifinal to be played at the Sugar Bowl against first seed Clemson. The third consecutive playoff meeting between these two schools, by the way. Alabama handled Clemson. They won 24-6. They went to the national championship game against SEC champion Georgia. And then the Crimson Tide pulled off an overtime victory to win the game 26-23, and they won the national title. Again, we aren't saying Alabama wasn't great. We are saying, based on what had happened on the field, they truly didn't deserve to be there. They lost to Auburn. They didn't even play in the conference title game. But with a 4-team playoff, things get stupid. And Bama didn't just get in, they won it all. That doesn't actually prove, though, that they belonged. It just proved how dumb the system is and how it has been for years. The 2017-2018 Alabama Crimson Tide were the national champs, but they really didn't deserve to be there. And they come in today at number 4. So we reach number 3. And we go all the way back to, well, about 5 minutes ago, when the 2022-2023 College Football Playoff Committee made Ohio State the number 4 seed in this year's playoff. Hey, when number 4 USC got beat last Friday in that Pac-12 title game, we knew it had opened the door for another team to get in this year. USC was going to be out. Okay, so hear me out. Here are the resumes for the two teams that have the best case for this year's number 4 spot. Team 1. They win 11-1. They have beaten 2 top 25 teams. They have a 22-point loss at home. Granted, it was to a top 5 team, but they lost at home by 22 points. Team number 2, they have beaten 3 top 25 teams. They lost 2 games by a combined 4 points. They were 10-2. Now, both of those losses were to top 10 teams, and they were both on the road. That, to me, feels like Team 2 deserved the nod. Well, Team 1 is Ohio State. Team 2 is Alabama. Again, this is where the 4-team playoff just doesn't feel right to me. It feels like someone is getting put in based on a name, but in this case, someone is getting in based on what? CJ Stroud? Based again on Big Ten? I don't know. I mean, you can tell me one loss is better than 2 losses. I get it. But a 22-point loss seems worse to me than a 1-point loss and a 3-point loss. The 2022-2023 Ohio State Buckeyes, I really don't think they actually deserve to be in the playoff, but they are. They are the number 4 seed, and they come in today on our list, today at number 3. We arrive at the number 2 team that made it to the college football playoff that probably didn't deserve to get there. And we go back to just 2 years ago. Again, we already talked about this season at number 5 with Ohio State getting in with that 6-0 record, which was absolutely ridiculous. Well, they weren't the only ones that didn't deserve to get in that year. So, like I said, Alabama was the 1, Clemson was the 2, and 6-0 Ohio State was the 3. Hey, when you're putting a team in with only 6 games played on their resume, you're obviously kind of hurting for teams. Well, at least most people considered Ohio State one of the best teams in the country that year. The number 4 seed was a little tougher. The committee looked at 8-2 Oklahoma. They were ranked number 6. They had lost to Kansas State and to Iowa State, which kind of seemed too much. They looked at number 5 Texas A&M, who had gone 8-1, and their only loss was to Alabama. That made some sense. But the loss had been a 28-point loss, so they were out. Coastal Carolina went 12-0. But their strength of schedule wasn't that great. So that left number 8 Cincinnati. The Bearcats had gone undefeated. They had beaten 3 ranked teams. But we know one thing about the College Football Playoff Committee. They say, we don't care about the name on the front of the jersey. All we care about is the resume. And we know when they say that, they're lying. Because the committee absolutely loves big names. So instead of Cincinnati, they went with number 4 Notre Dame. The Irish had beaten 2 ranked teams, including Clemson, Granted, it was in South Bend, so this is a no-brainer, right? Well, I mean, they beat Clemson. Clemson was a big dog that year, except that Clemson didn't actually have all their starters that game, including starting quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He was out with COVID. So in the ACC title game, Notre Dame and Clemson had a rematch, and Clemson beat Notre Dame 34-10. Okay, well, you can't send Notre Dame now. They just lost in their conference title game badly. This bid needs to go to Cincinnati. But it didn't, because the playoff committee sent Notre Dame anyway. Okay, hey, well, maybe you shouldn't have got the votes, but you can go prove to everyone, like Ohio State did, like Alabama did, that you still belong. But Notre Dame would face number one Alabama. And it turns out they shouldn't have been there. Alabama 31, Notre Dame 14. The 2020-2021 Notre Dame Fighting Irish didn't belong in the college football playoff, and we all knew it. And for that, they come in today at number two. So we reach the number one team today on our list of teams that didn't really deserve to make the college football playoff. And who else could it possibly be? I feel bad. I genuinely do. A team that keeps landing on our list today. But they haven't always deserved to get in. It was the very first year of this new system. We were going from the BCS, where you only got the top two teams, to the college football playoff, where we were going to get four teams. This was going to be so much better. This was going to be great. This would be new and improved, except we just ended up with more controversy. At the end of the 2014-2015 college football season, the Alabama Crimson Tide were once again the one seed. They had gone 12-1. They had beaten Missouri in the SEC title game. At number two were the Oregon Ducks with Marcus Mariota, also 12-1. At number three, we had the undefeated Florida State Seminoles, who hadn't lost all year, but they were scraping past lesser opponents and not looking that strong in the process. So once again, we had the battle for the four seed. There was 11-1 Baylor, who had one loss on the road at West Virginia, but they had beaten three ranked teams in the top 10, no less. Then you had 11-1 TCU, whose only loss was a 61-58 wild thriller to Baylor. And they had beaten five ranked teams. And then you had Ohio State. No question, the Buckeyes were stacked with talent, but they had been beaten by two touchdowns by unranked Virginia Tech in week two. Well, to me, this was obvious. You go with TCU. More ranked opponents, one three-point loss. This is the way to go. You put TCU in the Final Four. So is that what the committee did? Of course not. The committee took Ohio State. And the Buckeyes actually made them look great by first beating Alabama by a touchdown and then winning the national title by beating Oregon. Hey, okay, so Ohio State didn't deserve to get in, but they proved they belonged. And it all worked out in the end, right? Actually, no. Saying Ohio State or Alabama prove they belong by winning a game or even winning two doesn't prove anything. Because maybe the team that didn't get to go would have won those two. We'll never know. The problem with this 14 playoff is that we know the committee is in charge of trying to find the best teams, right? Except that they're also in charge of trying to provide the best TV programming that they can. Well, TCU or Cincinnati might not bring in the viewers. So they go with the bigger name. They go with Alabama. They go with Ohio State. But this isn't a popularity contest. This isn't our presidential election. This is college football. It's more important. You know, I am really, really hoping that the 12-team playoff fixes a lot of these goofy problems that we've seen. The year Central Florida didn't get in, and we had to hear about we're the national champs. I don't want to hear that stuff. The year that, of course, Nebraska and Michigan tied and they split the vote, I don't want to see that. The year like this where we say, well, Ohio State gets in and Alabama sits at home, I'm tired of college football ending with a fizzle instead of with a bang. And I'm really, really hoping that this is the end of it. We have this year and next year, and then we move on. Because college football is great. But the end of the season, traditionally, has been a joke and has been truly unfair to so many teams. I am hoping it is going to get fixed. Hey, next week on The Dose, we actually have something extra special for you. I don't want to tell you too much just yet. Chasing someone, we may have a brand new guest going to be stopping by and taking a look at sports from a totally different perspective. And we actually have some other very special things for you. I'll just say that. Next week, trust me on this, you don't want to miss it. Be sure you stop by the Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the email. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSport.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. You absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Nobody cares. Yeah.